except instead of just like wine and a bunch of like random girls giggling, look at how crappy I am at painting. It looks like something fucking Da Vinci himself made. But it's like they're
we have.
Oh wait, no, don't.
We have.
Jeez.
I have a shark.
I love it.
Oh my god, I can't cut this part now.
I've never used it, but it's a shark, so...
That is so cool, I want one now. Where'd you get it?
Mom.
Give me one.
Okay.
Probably thinking.
Copyright cool products, so...
Well, I'm never gonna find it, though.
Yeah, I'm alright.
That is pretty cool, though.
So, damn. Like, it's silly. I pretty much always have, like, twist-offs.
Did you just steal my phone with which I was gonna look at
you
Chinatown?
You looked directly at me.
Did you just do that?
Yes.
You just do that.
She just looks you in the eye and just be like, this is happening.
Yep. At least you are using that for exactly its intended purpose. The Mountain Dew, I mean. And also the cup, because that's what cups are for.
The Mountain Dew? Like, the fact that I'm using rum, or just the fact that I'm
using it's $8 on Amazon.
Cutting booze. Yeah, get one. Not right now, but you should get one.
Get you one.
I would love to have one of those someday.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. It's really poorly made. Like, you can feel the edges are, like, very poorly machined, but it's like...
That's fine.
If you don't mind, you know, some, like... metal slivers every now and again.
In your drink or on your hands?
It doubles as a weapon.
A little of both.
It doubles as a weapon for me.
See, and then you like stab someone with it, and then they turn into like Iron Man with the metal shards in their heart.
Make sure to leave room for air to get in there when you're drinking that, otherwise you're going to really regret it.
I know.
It'll be great. Do I have another bottle so I can dink? Rude.
What would happen?
I've never shown her that.
Well, there are two things that could happen. One, it could just explode upward, or two,
the bottom could drop out.
Like, I haven't seen it ever done, but John insists that it's
been... We've seen it done, just not in... Well, no, that's... I've had it done to me once in person, and it was fucking dusty.
Yeah.
Frick.
I know we tried at one point, and we're just sitting there banging our...
And we're just wasting beer.
Yeah. We're just, like, foaming and shit flying everywhere. Like,
I feel really bad, but it's... What was it? Anyway, it was something moderately okay. Was it MGD?
Possibly. I love how we call MGD.
Is that moderately okay?
I mean, honestly, of the shit beers, yes.
Honestly, yeah. If you're going to be like, oh, okay, well, I've got, you know, like $5 to spend on a six pack, what am I going to buy? Are you going to buy, like, Coors? Are you going to buy fucking, like, Budweiser? No, Miller Genuine Draft, that's where it's at.
It's like, oh, that doesn't taste like piss water. It tastes a little bit like beer.
Just a little bit. They add a cute...
It's mostly water, but...
A few cups into each vat of... You
know, Alright, guys. What's up, guys? Welcome to Dapper Shark Podcast, episode 76. I don't have to check this time, because I know we made a big sneak about it being 75 last time. What in God's name...
That's awfully suggestive.
That's gonna sound great.
Oh, yeah.
And we just suck the foam off her beer.
Ooh, beer after mint gum. That was a horrible decision.
Why don't you brush your teeth and then drink some orange juice while you're at it?
Funny story. So, today we went shopping a little while.
Okay, so we went to the bulk section at Winco, and they have a great selection of stuff. And when we first started shopping there, we kind of discovered this...
Cheese sauce powder.
Mac and cheese powder, yeah. Well, it's cheese sauce powder, but it's the stuff that's in mac and cheese. So we use that because it's cheaper to get that and then bulk noodles than regular mac and cheese. John said, okay, I'm going to go and get some. I went to go grab fruit, came back, and then as I was getting other noodles, John's like, wait, is that the same cheese stuff? And then he went back over, and he's like, well, maybe they're a different price. He went back over there, and he comes back, and he's like, well, we got a lot of orange tang. It is very close to the same color. The textures are completely different.
My original thought was maybe it's like the nacho cheese powder or something like that. Because they did actually have that there as well. But that was, I was just completely fucking wrong.
Hope nobody's looking for tang and goes get the nacho cheese powder.
Although I will be delighted to tell you that it is good at least.
It's tang.
Yeah.
Tang is actually really good.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was one of those like products that actually panned out pretty well.
I don't know what to do about getting this mint taste out of my mouth.
Spit out your gum, dummy!
I swallowed it! It's still there! I don't know what to do to get that taste out of my mouth!
Jesus,
drink
John.
More beer. Drink more beer.
I want to enjoy the beer!
Then drink it!
It's gonna taste really bad!
No, it won't. If you drink the beer will eliminate any other flavor in it.
It didn't, though. Yeah,
you kind of just have to, like, power through.
Go balls deep to it.
Whoa.
It's squealing beer.
It's squealing with Jesus. I don't really...
You know, there among the weird things that Coca-Cola has been marketed for as far as a cleaning product, some women swear by it for douching. Even today.
There are people that clean their cars with it.
Really?
Yeah, it gets rust off of cars.
I really hope that they use the diet version, because I can't imagine how sticky it would be down there afterwards.
It's already pretty sticky down there.
Well, if you're douching, I guess, especially.
Yeah, fair enough.
Why do people... You're shooting bacteria up into your soul. Like, seriously, why would you do that?
Is that where you store your soul?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better than your asshole.
Probably exists, too.
So anyway, guys, we do occasionally talk about some news on this show. We're going to get into it.
Can't use that.
I said some news on this.
Can't use that either.
What? Can't use the phrase some news because cracked as a show. This, like, what flavor is it?
Blood flavor.
We at least say what the beer is.
It's No Lie Crony. Northwest Brown Ale.
Oh, that sounds like something Tristan gave us.
No, it's something that Eric gave us.
Oh. One of the two beer providers to us.
Good beer providers?
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, yeah. This week in news, God fucking damn it, Activision, God fucking damn it.
Hey, we're gonna go right on the fuck Activision train, huh?
I just got done talking about you.
We need to have, like, an Activision bell. Actually, we should have them all different tones, and we should have just, like, a xylophone, so that we know when we're going to talk about Activision. Or Blizzard. Or...
Boom. And now, a brief moment of Activision. Fuck you! Fuck you so hard!
Right. I'm glad we got all quiet and, like, fuck you.
Yeah, that was very BBC of us. So, James, you want to read off the story?
And now, I'm BBC John.
Oh, wait, wasn't that one yours?
It was my story, yes, but I want to ensure that you read it.
Oh, I read...
Also, I don't have the show notes.
Oh, I see.
I don't either. I didn't read it. My bad. But I will react to it.
So the story this week is on Call of Duty World War II.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually... I didn't even link the... I linked the gym video. I didn't have the actual article.
I will go back and do that, then.
All right. Because I was like, I'd say, I pretty much all I have to go off of is...
Hey, future John. You better do that.
Yeah, that's right. Future John.
It legit tastes like blood.
Maybe you're bleeding.
Yeah, there is that possibility.
Nope, just stupid.
Wow!
Speaking of stupid, Activision!
Yes.
Okay, so guys, there's a controversy over the new Activision World War II game called...
What?
COD Wii.
COD Wii.
Yeah. COD Wii. Is that like a Wii fishing game?
Yeah, clearly.
With loot boxes?
So loot boxes drop onto the beaches of Normandy so that other players can literally watch you open your loot boxes. They can't interact in any way, but they can watch you get stuff out of your loot boxes and be like, oh wow, that's really rare, good job! You get rewarded for watching other people open loot boxes, incentivizing you do it.
People's grandparents and great-grandparents died. They stormed onto a beach knowing they were going to perish so that you could have a loot box.
See, and this is the moral ground that you could be mad at Activision from. Now, the marketing ground that you could be mad at them from is they are making you... Not making you. If you play the multiplayer, they're incentivizing you. Watch other people get pay-for-play stuff.
So that you too will want it.
So that you too will want it.
I said, it's pay-for-play, because they don't have any... It's all cosmetics.
Mm-hmm. No, is that true?
I don't know.
I didn't think it was all cosmetics. I thought there was actually weapon drops and stuff in them.
I thought that the weapons that dropped were just, like, weapon skins. Like,
if that's the case, then that's...
Well, it's still...
scummy.
It's the exact same thing. Like, granted... If you have... Sorry. I'm going to also just take a second here to apologize if my voice sounds shittier than normal, because I know that you all love listening to me. Also, the occasional coughs. I apologize, John. I am still getting over this fucking cold that I was out last week with.
It's okay.
And apparently...
Future John forgives you.
Yeah. Apparently, like, half of Spokane was just fucking killed by it this week, so...
Yeah.
It's been bullshit. But anyway, so even if it's just, like... Because, it's a full... pay like a full $60 game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if they were to actually have loot boxes that contained items that were more than cosmetic, I'm pretty sure some people...
Destiny!
I'm pretty sure that the community at large would have something to say about that. But as far as I know, it is all just cosmetic. But still, the point stands that they are trying yet another scummy bullshit tactic to get people to be like, oh, check it out. That guy got a freaking top hat that's green that says smoke weed every day every time he gets a headshot.
Smoke weed every day.
So it's just like, I totally want that. So I'm going to spend all of my mom's money fucking rolling loot boxes until I get it.
Yep. See, and here's the thing. This is coming off the tail end of that fucking patent.
Oh, yeah. Was that Activision that filed that
yes.
shit?
Yes.
So, yeah.
And they're doing this because it got found out.
Oh, yeah. Instead of, because they were talking about, oh, that didn't implement that in any of our games. Meanwhile, you could sit here and get bonuses for watching, you know, Tommy Two-Tone fucking open up his box.
Tommy Two-Tone.
And it's like, what? So they're basically just swapping one bullshit tactic for another.
Yep. And it's all because people got pissed at them one time. And, you know, they're like, oh, okay, well, you guys are paying attention to us, so we'll try something else. I mean, we're sorry.
Yes. Oh, did we say that out loud?
Fuck. PR. PR.
Also, it's kind of what I actually think that this method would be more effective than than the other one that we mentioned with the patent, mm-hmm. which is basically just like a matchmaking setup that is specifically tuned to get newbie players with players that have bought a bunch of cosmetic shit. So the newbie player is like, oh, I want that. It's so cool.
Keep in mind, guys, that this is Blizzard Activision. Even though we keep saying Activision, this is Blizzard Activision. And there's a game that they have that's very popular that uses loot boxes where that could be very easily implemented in a very, very funny way. You know, and I say funny in, like, the odd way, not funny as in, like, the funny way.
Oh, funny strange? Funny ha-ha? What?
Funny strange.
Oh, yeah. Funny bullshitting, you mean?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
I actually forget. In the Blizzard Activision, like, partnership, who's the parent company? Is it actually Activision, or is
that's
it like...
Blizzard.
Not 100%.
I don't think so, because a lot of the decisions that Activision makes don't seem like something Blizzard would have done back in the day.
Give me a phone. Find it.
Okay, you have to go off the next story, then, after this.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep talking while I look it up.
So, it just...
Regardless.
So, what game are you thinking of there, John?
Overwatch.
Oh, Snowverwatch, where they have a whole bunch of loot boxes, and... Fucking, it's actually like a full-fledged, like, pay for this fucking game.
Oh, and before the matches, you get to look at everybody's skins because they make you sit around in an area looking at each other so that, you know, you're forced to see other people's skins and stuff to be like, oh man, I wish I could have that.
Oh, and then, like, when you have, like, a play, you know, someone who does, like, a pretty awesome play, you get to watch them get in a fucking pose in whatever special gear they're in, and then you watch them do their fucking thing, and then watch them do their pose again.
Look, this isn't new stuff. I know TF2's done it for a long time, with their hats and stuff, and they gradually got closer and closer to doing it with, like, costumes and so on and so forth. I know that other games do it, like Paladins, Dota, League... Tons of games.
Hold on,
tons of games, too.
One thing that I kind of want to ask is that, well, isn't TF2 a free game? Or at least...
That is what I was going to say.
So, not only that, but aren't those hats and all that shit, though they drop in, like, regular matches?
Yes.
But you can buy them from other players.
And when TF2 went free-to-play, they did it because they were making money off of the hats and drops. Because they made it so that occasionally you get crates that contain something exceedingly rare, but random, that you had to buy keys for that were $1 or $2 a piece.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I would feel a little bit less bad about that as a game that was like, hey, guess what? You paid like $60 for this game, right? Well, fuck you. Buy loot boxes.
Yep.
It's actually not Blizzard Activision. It's Activision Blizzard. And
so
Activision is the parent. Did you know that they own fucking Candy Crush?
Activizard. I did know that.
Actually. I didn't fucking know that.
Wait, Activision Blizzard owns like
King, which yeah. How did you know it was King? You played.
We've talked
Candy
about
Crush.
It. What kind of a show do you take us for?
When have we talked about it?
Well, we've talked about King just because King just doesn't own Candy Crush. King owns a bunch
of
shit.
Really?
They're like they're one of the Fat Cat friggin' mobile games. That's actually really freaking scary.
Yeah, they're up there with game Gameloft, thank you.
Yep. Dude, that is really fucking scary. So that means Activision not only owns, like, Blizzard, which is just fucking sad.
Yeah.
But it also owns...
Also proves my point.
One of the biggest goddamn mobile game creators or developers. That's a word. Out there, which is fucking shit, Activision. No wonder they're scummy and bullshitty and everyone hates them.
Yeah. Man.
Not that I liked anything that King ever came out with, ever, but...
No, because they're Skinner Box, the puzzle game.
Yeah, all of them.
Like, you know what was a good game? Torchlight.
Don't make me sad, John.
I have to make you sad, James.
No. I'll just drink my rum.
So, guys, I have a bit of sad news. Runic Games has closed its doors officially. Runic Games behind Torchlight and Torchlight 2, of course. And recently, they just released a game called Hob that was a very ambitious, which is part of the problem, Zelda-like game.
Ambitious means shitty.
No, yeah, it doesn't, though, because it does a little bit. There was a lot of performance problems.
Ambitious is a nice way to say shitty. No. Like, that was a really ambitious project. It means you tried, but it was shitty, so you failed.
I mean, No Man's Sky was ambitious.
And it was shitty, so they failed.
Yeah.
Tell me another ambitious project, John.
What's the ambitious project that succeeded? Minecraft.
Was ambitious.
Damn it, John.
Project.
I was just about to say that.
And then Notch left, and he was shitty, so he failed.
No, if you have, like, billions of dollars, you're incapable of being shitty.
Didn't his wife leave him?
Okay.
With billions and billions of dollars, so...
Yeah, I think she took, like, half.
She made out with billions, like, seriously. What's the next story we wanted to talk about? So Hob, that's sad that...
That's Runic Games.
I would like to... I actually had a quick question. Wasn't Runic Games owned by a bigger company that shut them down?
Yes, it's a Chinese company. The name fails me, but they're in charge of... Honey, can you check the transcript?
I'm looking it up right now.
Because I would kind of like to clarify that Runic Games, the, you know, company that made fucking Torchlight and Torchlight 2, which apparently there's some sort of, not development, but like announcement regarding that coming up, which means fuck all to me, because if the people that made the original games didn't actually make it, like a new one, like they're like, Torchlight 3, check it out. Also, we're focusing on games as a service, so you can't actually buy this. This is like a free-to-play MMO, but you've got like this weird thing in loot boxes.
So, here's my hypothesis. Maybe the parent company decided that they were going to just absorb Runic Games. Like, the members, not the company. So they disbanded the company and absorbed the members to move them on to a Torchlight-style MMO.
I kind of wonder what would be the point of that. Like, I mean...
To make money.
It's called Perfect World.
Perfect World. They've done a ton of games, actually.
Mostly MMOs.
Yes. So, that's why I think...
Yeah, games as a service. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, I think maybe there's going to be a Torchlight MMO coming up. But I think it's going to be actually closer to, like, Spiral Knights as an MMO. As opposed to, like, a World of Warcraft, which we also have news on.
Hopefully. But, yeah, no, I would just like to point out the fact that Runic was dismantled by a parent company. Because when I think of, like, an indie company or, like, a small company shutting its doors, it's like, you know, guys, we tried. Let's go on ahead and hang our hats up and we, you know, we fucking go back to our day jobs.
Yeah.
We tried. This was like, oh, we
got... They didn't fail.
Yeah. We didn't fail. As far as I know, Torchlight and Torchlight 2 were pretty popular. I don't know about
their
last...
So was Hob.
Yeah, Hob was fairly popular. Yahtzee didn't like it, but whatever.
Yeah. He liked Hat in Time. God. Okay, I just want to gush about this game because I personally attached myself to it real quick. Sorry, go ahead.
They also own Cryptic Studios, who did Neverwinter and Star Trek Online.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
They're still around. Cryptic is.
For now.
Yeah.
It's owned by Perfect World.
Yeah, but just wait.
They're gonna, like, tear down and, like, fucking do whatever they want to it.
Yahtzee anyway. Made me exceptionally happy the other day when he did a review on both Hob and A Hat in Time because they came out at similar times. He kind of shit all over Hob.
Yeah.
And A Hat in Time, but then he, like, gradually started warming up to it the further he got into it. And he's like, what is this sensation I'm feeling? Is it fun? Fun? I'm not supposed to experience fun anymore. I'm an adult.
That's not what games are for, John. games are not for having fun. Games are for...
They're for shitting all over.
It's for taking your money and getting pressed through bad reviews.
You know, I have to say, I actually agree with the statement, games are not for fun. Because I have played games that I did not have fun, that I've completed in their entirety, that I enjoyed wholeheartedly, but did not have fun playing them.
Mm-hmm.
Spec Ops: The Line.
Well, okay, man. So you've got a couple subsets of games, some of which are like games as an art form, where it's like Spec Ops: The Line, where you're just like, "What the fuck is this generic show? Oh my god!" And then you're just like, "Wow, this was." I would say that Spec Ops: The Line was a work of art. It's like one of those movies that you watch where you're just like, at the end, you just kind of sit there thinking about it, and you're just like, "That was a thought provoking movie," you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
But then there are games where you're like, Mario Party, and you're like, I have fun playing this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of Mario.
Yeah?
John.
What do you want to say about Mario?
You want to talk about Odyssey?
We talked about Odyssey.
When?
Last week.
But you want to talk
about
it?
Oh, I beat it now.
Now that after you beat it, yeah.
I know, right.
Right, I forgot I beat it. Because the game's not over when you beat it.
Oh.
So, spoilers, guys. The game's not over when you beat it. You do, in fact, beat it. There is... I mean, it's pretty obvious that there's a wedding. Like, I don't even think that's a spoiler.
Weddings.
What exactly transpires during that, I'm not going to spoil. But, yeah.
Oh my god.
The game's not over when you beat the game. In fact, it kind of opens up. It is possible to get 999 motherfucking moons in the game. You have to buy, like, 130 of them.
Buy?
With coins. They cost 100 coins each.
Thank fucking god. I was like... Buy? What the fuck are you talking about, John? Is like getting Mario loot boxes?
You know, it's funny. Jim Sterling, when he first opened up and started playing Mario Odyssey, he saw the second currency. He's like, no! And then he's like, oh, okay.
I do kind of like that system, though, where you have two shops in each world. And one shop is just your gold. It can be used anywhere. And then the other shop is the coins. And they're not, like, premium. They're only that world.
It's actually very World of Warcraft, because at least old World of Warcraft, which, again, news coming, when you would go to, like, battlegrounds and stuff, you'd earn, like, warfare points. I can't remember what they're called. But you'd earn, like, points for participating in battlegrounds and stuff like that, that you could spend on buying, like, raiments and stuff like that. A raiment is a type of adorned armor, specifically made to glorify...
Here's not a raiment?
What?
Final Fantasy XI also had, although it had ludicrous amounts of different like currencies. Like, I remember opening up the currencies menu, and there was like 10 pages of different types of currencies that are used for like doing different things and at different places and stuff like that. And I was like, nope.
It's Raymond.
I thought I said Raymond.
Oh, I thought you were putting an N in it.
Oh, it sounded like Raymond to me.
My bad then.
There was a game I played recently that had that kind of thing, James, where, yeah, it was... You have the really ridiculous thing, fucking paladins, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, there's like four currencies in paladins.
Yeah, you
now.
Have your VIP points, and you earn those, but you can also buy your VIP something or other, and earn more VIP points. And then there's essence, which you use to buy one thing, and then there are coins, and then there are crystals.
Essence is used only on cards.
Only,
you can only buy cards.
Exclusively.
And you get that from, like, dusting other cards, don't you? Or you don't actively do it. It's like, if you
have... You get it from getting duplicates, yeah.
And from, from beating things, don't you? From, like, playing games?
I think so, yeah.
You can get them as rewards, yeah. I think there's actually a weekly reward for Essence, too. And
yeah,
it's a
and
big
I...
amount.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Essence is stupid easy to get. And when they first implemented Essence, they retroactively gave it to you.
To
so suddenly, like, all of us had, like, I think I had, like, 300,000, yeah, Essence. And I was really bummed because I stopped earning gold as quickly after that. Like,
well,
just
I mean,
yeah,
that's
they
why,
stopped. Though. I know. I wish it was an all gold system. That's
it could very
want.
Easily be, but that's they can't obfuscate as the money that you spend on it as easily.
Well, yeah, there's that, and then there's also the fact that it's like if they went with one currency, then it's like I think they kind of want to make it pretty easy to get abilities and to get, you know, all the different buffs and stuff like that, but they want to make it more difficult to get cosmetics so that you're forced to like buy it.
Yep, that's exactly what they want.
Also, what are the fucking VIP points? What are those spent on?
Hell, those are new.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck those are spent on.
Those
really,
are spent
really
on
premium...
exclusive exclusive skins that you can only get by getting a certain amount of prestige, basically.
Oh. Wait, so you don't buy those though, right?
Sorry. You can.
Oh, that's fucking bullshit.
You can't buy them specifically, but you can buy boosts to
you
them.
Buy, yeah, your VIP status, and then you get more VIP points. You still get VIP points in matches.
Yeah, you get them no matter what. It's like a...
It's just how fast you get them.
Yeah. Pay for convenience type of thing.
VIPP?
Yep. VIPP. Okay, guys.
Yeah, let's just keep on. I may make a dick joke, but no, that's fine.
Next
up. Oh, well, actually, since we're on this, we kind of started talking about this because we were talking about loot boxes and how Activision's bullshit. And then that kind of just, like, rolled into all this other bullshit. But I kind of did want to give sort of a quick kudos to a developer that has decided that because of, I think their official statement was it was only a part of the reason, but I'm pretty sure a large part of the reason is because loot boxes have been kind of tainted now with, like, you know,
this bad.
Bad bullshit tactic. Basically, all loot boxes are a way of encouraging people to gamble, which I wholeheartedly agree with. But Phoenix Labs has decided to remove loot boxes from their game Dauntless. It's a free-to-play game, and they had before, it was just like loot boxes that got you like cosmetic items and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have... It's really sad. It's like they've moved over to a microtransactions-like model where you could buy the cosmetics directly.
Yep.
And I'm very satisfied with that, and I'm really fucking sad that I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah.
It's like... Before, the word microtransactions was fucking dirty. It was like, ooh, did you say there's microtransactions in this game? Fuck that guy.
But keep in mind, this is a free-to-play game, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is like dropping money in MapleStory. You don't really feel bad unless you spend too much.
Yeah. And there are just some people out there that really, like, especially, I think, it's even worse when loot boxes are involved or some form of gambling is involved, just because I think that is specifically tailored to just latch, like, onto certain types of people that are prone to...
Well, and that's like, the thing. They're starting young, too. This type of... with loot boxes, they actually are able to entice younger audiences into basically getting used to gambling so that it's not going to be as big a deal to them as they go throughout their life.
Yeah.
Gambling problems exist in more than just casinos.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that have literally... I mean, this is fucking Korea. South Korea, mind you. But there are people that have murdered each other over gachapon drops.
That's pretty awesome.
In MapleStory.
And but also in real life.
And those are the people that have these fucking problems. And those are also the people that these game developers are preying on. Like, They see someone with a gambling problem as a cash cow, not as a human being that needs fucking help.
Yep.
And it's just like, it's disgusting what they do with that. So that is why, fundamentally, I have a problem with loot boxes in its entirety, even if you're free to play, even if you're whatever. It's like, if you have microtransactions, be fucking transparent about it. Like, you want to buy this flaming dildo sword? Fucking pay me $1.
All right. So, hypothetically speaking, I'm going to posit you a situation. So, you can get loot boxes, but you can only spend in-game currency to buy loot boxes. Otherwise, you spend real money to buy whatever you want. So, you spend fake phony bucks and have a chance at getting these rare things. So or you spend real money and get guaranteed whatever you want.
So, how many shroot bucks do you need to buy? So, I mean, I think if the loot boxes are in-game currency only and you cannot buy that in-game currency, then I'm okay with that.
Like, okay.
Because then it's like, it adds an element of chance, and yeah, it might be a little bit more of a gateway thing, but it's also not being like, there's an easy button to this, like, Skinner box bullshit.
Because
like,
pay for convenience.
Thing. Yeah. So it's like, hey, you know where your mom keeps her credit card? Go on ahead and use that, and you can fucking roll this loot box all you want. Rather than just being like, oh, I need to play this game more to unlock more chances at cool stuff.
I want to give a shout out to Warframe for this, actually. I've been playing a bit of Warframe with Emily whenever she gets a chance, poor girl, and Tristan, and I really like how they've implemented their loot system. You basically, they have an actual cash cost for every single item in the game. You can just buy it outright, or you can play the missions. They have a chance of dropping a part for the thing that you want to build, even the Warframes, And if you get all the parts together, then it costs you time to have it crafted into the thing that you want.
It's pretty cool.
So I think it's like 3 days for a warframe once you've got all the parts. So 72 hours, you get a brand new character.
Shiny new warframe.
Exactly.
Nice. And I mean, like, it couldn't really just shut the door on every single element of chance as far as, like, drops goes. I mean, like, I've been playing MMOs and RPGs since I was a fucking toddler. It's just like, that's pretty much what it is. You do an instance, or you try to, you fight a mob to get the chance for a drop. And granted, that moment when you get the drop is pretty awesome, but it's also those games that I played growing up and those games that I play now aren't like, well, do you want, like, oh, it looks like you didn't get that epic drop that you wanted from this boss run. Do you want to pay me a dollar to fucking re-roll your drops to see if you might get it this time? Yeah, it's like,
no.
There you go, that's the right answer.
Run the dungeon again, I guess.
Right, oh guys. No, I have to play the game.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about what's next on the docket.
Legacy servers!
We're doing
Blizzard
it.
Is taking the scaling ideas of the week.
It's all going wrong.
Also, for the record, first of all, no mint and beer. Second of all, oh, minty beer. Like, if there's a mint flavor. Okay, but a mint flavored ale? Like,
I'm leaving this in.
Second of all, don't drink beer on your side. Because the gas, like, kind of sits there because it wants to go up.
Yeah,
so it sits there going up, like, toward your belly. But then, yeah, when you lean up, I just let out the manliest belch.
Alright, guys. So we're back. James is just, having to tear himself away from Mario Odyssey.
Whatever. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He killed a giant squid thing on the moon by bumping it.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Bump.
You know, I have to say, it is a fun game, and I do enjoy it, and I think I maybe made Hat in Time my darling, and maybe I'm being a little unfair towards Mario Odyssey, because it's a good game, I didn't sit through it the whole time like I did with Hat in Time.
Well, both games you have a hat, so.
I mean, yes, and in one game you throw your hat away, that's the problem, Mario held onto his hat the whole time.
Oh, hey. Supposed to throw it away?
No, I'm just kidding, though. Like, it was a good game. It's got better mechanics, I dare say, than Hat in Time. I just think Hat in Time was more geared towards plucking my nostalgia strings.
Whereas Mario's more on, like, innovating?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. you...
Amplify?
We're gonna, you were saying earlier that it might have been different if you'd played Odyssey first and then Hat in Time?
Yeah, I think I might have been... There weren't a lot of problems with Hat in Time, but there were some. Most of them were, like, polish issues, and polish is not something that is lacking in Mario. Like, that game just is absolutely too polished a little bit.
Well, they resisted releasing a Mario game with the release of the Switch, so it's like they held this one back so they could finish polishing it. So,
yeah.
You know, they took their time. And Nintendo's also really good at that, where they're just like, we're not going to release this shit until it fucking shines.
I have been loving watching the Reddit threads talk about Mario Odyssey, because they keep talking about all these hidden coin stashes that Nintendo is like, oh, I bet you can't get up here. And Nintendo's like, we know you can get up there. We put coins up there to reward you for doing that. Good job. You didn't fool us, though. Which I had a theory last week. But I think my theory probably stands. They're just like, yeah, it's not likely for them to get up here. But put coins up here so it looks like we knew they could.
You know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a matter of time before people start using, like, dev tools and shit like that to get to literally everywhere. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Look at that. I found this thing here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the... excuse me. I can't wait to see the Easter eggs in the game. Because I'm sure they hit tons of... I mean, just the costumes alone are Easter eggs. So anyway, guys, the next story is going to be talking about Blizzard again, because, Activision Blizzard is having a ton of trouble right now. Not only that, they're having a convention.
I was about to say, they're in the middle of BlizzCon right now, a lot of our Blizzard news isn't necessarily because we have a Blizzard hard-on. because
we don't.
Well, I got Blizzard, not no. Activision.
Are you sure you have a Blizzard heart on, or are you sure you have a Hearthstone heart on?
A hearth on?
Hearth. Beth has a hearth on.
Well, no, I like fucking StarCraft and shit like that.
No, you don't. Don't lie.
I hate all these
you
games.
You don't play other games other than Hearthstone.
Screw you, John.
He plays 7 Days to Die.
And occasionally modded Minecraft.
Why don't you suck up?
Alright, so how about this? Since we keep postponing
it's
it
okay,
anyway.
James, right now I don't play anything except City Skylines.
Let's talk about the MMO.
That's all I have time for.
And then you could talk about your experience with your new MMO.
Oh, do we want to just, like, barrel through the rest of these, like...
Yeah, I think so. I think we're ready for that.
Alright. So, I guess I could kind of, like, go through these next two stories just because they're pretty quick. Because there isn't a whole lot of information on it besides the card reveals that are going to be happening over the next, like, month. But Hearthstone's having a new expansion coming out. Looks kind of interesting. It was a crap, like, kobolds and catacombs is the theme.
Noted candle!
It looks like more, one of their more, like, I guess, sort of, because I remember one time they were doing an interview with Ben Brode, and it was like, they kind of like to go between a serious expansion and a funny expansion, and this one looks like it's going to be more along the sides of funny, sort of like mm-hmm. the League of Explorers one. But one of the mechanics that they're adding are legendary weapons, which look actually pretty cool for the ones that they've revealed so far. Basically, it's like a weapon that you equip that doesn't have any attack, but it has some durability on it, and it gives you like a sort of like a lasting
effect.
Lasting effect. Like one of them, it's like at the end of your turn, you draw 3 cards. You know, it's like that sort of shit, which can be really handy with certain deck archetypes. One thing I did want to mention or talk to any Hearthstone fans that are listening is log into your account on November 6th. Apparently, they are releasing one of the legendary minions with this expansion early for free for anybody who logs in on the 6th.
Noted.
I don't know if it's actually like after that as well, like if you log in on the 7th, will you get it? I'm not sure, but...
So if you guys are listening to this on day of release, you're just in time. And if not, womp womp.
So hopefully you're on top of it. Otherwise, you should probably listen to the podcast when it's released.
It's released at 5 p.m. on Mondays.
So that'll be like, will that be the 6th or will that be the 5th? Oh, that will
be
the 6th. All right.
Got plenty of time still.
So log in right now. Oh my god.
You probably have time to download the game, even if you don't play,
and
go get it.
Very true. Also, in some quickie Blizzard-related news, apparently they are adding legacy servers to WoW.
About fucking time.
I mean, we talked about that one that they took down a while ago.
Astarius?
Yeah, that was really fucking popular, and I remember when they took that down, they actually, I don't know if they invited or they begrudgingly were just like, okay, fine. But they had, like, a meeting with the people who made that server, and they talked to them about their plans, which I'm assuming this was involved and, like, included in that talk. Jump's got this fucking face.
I just want to give a very slow clap real quick. Because it just... I was a little slow on the uptake here. I just realized that the reason it was called Nostalrius is because nostalgia...
Anyway.
You didn't realize that either, did you?
No, I didn't.
I realized it.
Fuck you.
Well, you're just smarter than both of us, so
yeah.
That's what's...
Fuck you! Fuck you! And fuck you, too! Fuck.
Oh, I'm sorry for giving you a compliment.
Jeez, yeah. She threw my phone at me! Ow! She did it again. Her phone!
I'm sure the reason why they've been shutting down fucking retro servers, because they were like, Well, we're going to implement our own retro server, so you guys can die in a fire.
Now, the other option is that maybe they saw that so many people kept flocking to it. They're like, oh, man, how many hundred thousands was that? And that's all times 60?
Yeah.
So sorry, that's all times 15 a month?
So, yeah, there is pretty much no information on how they plan on implementing this or any details. But basically, they were at BlizzCon, and they're like, hey, guess what? And the crowd is like, what? And they're like, retro servers. And everyone's just like, aw, came at the same time.
They were really jizzed about it.
Yeah, they're all jizzed up about it. Another thing that they announced that pretty much doesn't really need a whole lot of information, but also is kind of, like, cool, is the fact that they're planning on implementing the Legion level scaling to a point to all areas in WoW, or in all of Azeroth. They want to make it so that, like, it seems like within 20 levels of a specific area, the enemies will scale to your level. So if there's a particular area that they say that it's like, if there's a particular area you like leveling in, more like if there's a particular area that's actually more efficient to level in.
Has the type of ore that you need, or...
Yeah, it's like the enemies in particular areas are going to scale to your character's level to a certain point.
I kind of like that.
I think it's kind of cool. It adds more flexibility to the different areas, and it's like, oh, I need to grind some levels. Where do I go? Well, like, it increases your areas that you can go to for...
Back when I was a guild leader, I can't count the number of times people were bitching. It was like, I have to go get copper, and it was like, yeah, you shouldn't have power leveled.
Yeah. So you're just, like, in a weakling area or something like that.
And you're, like, 50. Yeah. It's like, sorry that you have to go get copper because you decided to not focus on fucking doing your goddamn job in a crafting guild.
But yeah, so that seems kind of interesting. If you want to check out more details, take a look at the link. But that is essentially the gist of it. I mean, it's kind of a fairly cut and dry, like, procedure. Another thing that we kind of wanted to note that was announced at BlizzCon is the fact that StarCraft II is going free-to-play.
Woo!
For the most part. If you already own the Wings of Liberty campaign, you will be given the Brood War... Not Brood War. Wow, that's... Heart of the Swarm campaign for free. also, the Wings of Liberty campaign will become free for anybody who wants it.
Good, I'm gonna go play through it, finally.
And, So the matchmaking, unranked, is free for everyone, and then I think after you play 10 days of unranked, you unlock ranked play, and you get all units. It's not like they're locking specific units from, like, certain expansions.
That's good.
So it's like, anybody who wants to do the multiplayer experience can do it, regardless of whether they bought the game or not. And also, the multiplayer commanders, the co-op commanders, are all free to play up to level 5. And then I think, the 3 basic commanders are all 100% free to play.
That makes sense.
So, it's like, if you want to hop in on the first campaign, get yourself hooked so you can buy the other two. Or if you want to do matchmaking and play against other people, or if you want to play with other people... you can do it without buying a single copy of StarCraft 2.
Speaking of StarCraft, I do want to mention again that the original StarCraft is given out for free from them, and it's StarCraft and StarCraft Brood War in their entirety. They're not the new upscaled version of it, but it runs like a fucking champ.
Yeah. It's like 100% free to play.
Yep.
And then, you know, once you play it, and you're like, oh, this is awfully blocky, and you're like, oh, maybe I should buy the remastered edition.
Or two. So, have you played the remastered yet?
I haven't, no.
I haven't seen a lot on it. That's the only thing I haven't been interested in it because I haven't seen anyone really talking it up at all. And I imagine that's because it's not that great a rescale. Or a remastering. That's the one I wanted to say.
Besides the exclusive skins that you could have gotten for pre-ordering it, I don't really know anything about the different skins that they added. But, I mean, I think, if anything, just playing the original would be good enough. I mean, like, it's supported by Blizzard servers. And
mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'll get it at some point and let you guys know.
That'd be great. Alright, I think that's all the Blizzard news for this week.
So that's pretty much all the news this week.
So I told you a couple weeks ago, James, when you first got into Final Fantasy XIV, that you had to give us a review of it, or at least your first impressions, and you got that for us?
Have I not done that yet at any point?
Has he been here since you started playing that?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's been a couple weeks. I thought it kind of like...
We did kind of talk about it, but you had only played it for like a day or so.
Yeah. Basically, what I've noticed so far... So I got...
You did, because you talked about how much talking there was in the game, and you were really mad.
Yes, yes.
Like reading or talking. James just doesn't like words.
Well, that's just the problem. There wasn't any talking. It was all fucking reading. There were like paragraphs and paragraphs of reading. But actually, I know, right?
Like it's books.
Fuck you, I don't play a game to read a book, John. I don't read a book to read a book either. Fucking like, fuck you. Anyway, so I'm happy to report for people who don't like want a fucking like novel for their fucking game. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm trying to tank for you guys, but I'm in the middle of reading fucking the Chronicles of goddamn Final Fantasy over here. Anyway, after the initial text dump, it actually kind of, like, levels out and starts actually being, like, a fucking game. As far as like, the level of text, and obviously there's a lot of, like, dialogue, and there's, like, backstory and shit like that and stuff.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me a Final Fantasy game takes a little bit of time to get going?
Why don't you eat a dick, John?
What?
I mean, seriously, though, like, that's pretty much every Final Fantasy game. It's like, we're faffing about. Oh, you see that big open world out there? Not yet.
Nope, not quite.
Ready? Not yet. Wait. Okay, go for it!
Well, I mean, like, in some games where it's like, yeah, well, we're going to have, like, a little more... It's going to be a little more linear until we finally give you the open world, that sort of thing. This one's like, oh, here. So here's this, you know, 10-book anthology that you need to read before we'll let you go out into the playground, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, so now the text levels are down to, you know, MMO/RPG fucking levels rather than actually just, like, a fucking, you know... novel, which is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one thing I think I might have commented on initially is the fact that everything seems, if like comparing, because a lot of my observations of Final Fantasy XIV are comparing it to Final Fantasy XI, because why would you not? Because that was also a Square Enix fucking MMO, and yep. Also in the same vein. It's a hell of a lot more action-y. Like, a lot more action-y. Instead of, like, you know, playing even like a DPS or a tank before, it was just like, okay, I initiated attacking this monster. Okay. Alright. Waiting for my TP to get to 100%. Okay. There we go. I'm just still standing here hitting it. Oh, maybe I should do this ability. Okay, there's this ability I can use too. Alright. Okay, I can use a weapon skill. There we go. Let's do this. Now it's just like, pretty much your weapon skills are your main attack and your auto attack is just punctuating between those attacks. Yeah. It's actually like a lot more like active, and I like that a lot, because it's like, also another thing I've noticed as far as like quests and stuff like that goes, it's almost single player oriented. At least I'm my highest level character is a level 30 paladin, and it is like, as far as, like, the story quest goes, as far as, like, the, like, weapon skill quest goes, things like that, they're all very... They're almost, like, single player. Like, you can have someone there helping you and doing shit, helping you get through higher level areas, but when it comes down to it, like, if there's an instance or if there's, like, an actual fight that needs to happen for a quest, it actually puts you in a single player battleground where you have to figure out, like, your way through it. It's like... One of the later ones I ran into, you actually have to prioritize targets, and you actually have to figure out like what you're going to do, because if you don't, your group's going to die pretty fucking quick. Like, and your group is all NPC. Like, you don't have... Your party cannot help you.
That's good, though. I like that.
That's fucking awesome. Because then it not only does it make the actual, like, it makes the story and also just the battle feel a lot more, I don't know, it feels a lot more personal. And it feels a lot more like you're actually involved in the story versus if you were playing Final Fantasy XI and you had a group, like, let's say you were joining up, you're level one, and you want to get through the mission and stuff like that. Oh, okay. Pretty much from the beginning to the end would just be like your higher level people just being like, okay, you hang back, let us handle this. But this is like, okay, I am not properly leveled or I'm not properly prepared for this fucking mission. Well, sorry, you have to disband your party because this fight's all you, buddy.
Yeah. I think Final Fantasy XI in particular, at least my experience with it, I did have a fair amount. Not as much as you did, but it's not made to be played by yourself. You are supposed 100%. To be yeah. with other people.
Oh, yeah, no. From, like, also leveling from in Final Fantasy XI, from level 10 on, it's like, there are only two jobs that can even remotely even consider soloing.
That's because they have pets.
Yes, and that's exactly it.
Beastmaster and Summoner.
Yep, those are like the only ones you can solo with. The rest of them, once you hit level 14, or like about 10 to 14, well, you're going to Velcrum Dunes, buddy. You're going to get in a party, and you're going to grind.
I mean,
you'd be killing a lot of sandworms.
One of the operative words, one of the operative letters of the acronym, the M means... multiplayer.
Massive. Well, and also with this, there, it's like, I don't know, with that, it seems, at least with missions, it seemed just kind of to take you out of it because you have to be in this large group or, you know, it, and a lot of the stuff, it just seemed like your group was fucking waiting on you. And there were,
yes.
And it was just like, oh, okay, I'm with this group of like level 60s that have already done this before. They don't give a shit about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in Final Fantasy XIV, it's like, oh, this is an imperative, like, storyline thing? Well, we're going to put you in a cutscene, and you're going to fight this monster by yourself. Fuck your party.
See, and that's what I liked about the original WoW as well, is, like, you could solo just about everything. I mean, until, like, raid bosses and stuff like that. But every other aspect of the game, you were able to do by yourself. So you kind of felt like you were a part of this world rather than a member of it, if that makes any sense.
And Final Fantasy XIV also does the same thing, like with party members, where there are certain missions or certain, like, once you get to a certain spot in the storyline, there is a dungeon that you have to run, and each dungeon is an instance that requires a party of
yep.
at least five people. And so, and then another wonderful thing about it is fucking matchmaking. Instead of being like, oh, I can't get past this next mission unless I have a party, so I need to, you know, cooperate with my Link Shell, get everyone together, we all get one actual location, and let's go ahead and do this mission so that I can continue on, like in Final Fantasy XI. Final Fantasy XIV, it's like, okay, you go through all the steps in this mission, then you get to the battleground, and you're standing there, and it's like, oh, well, let's matchmake you with other people that are also at this point. And then that is all people throughout different servers and everything like that. It's taken me less than like 3 minutes to get a group together for a thing. And it's all done automatically too.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pop into the instance and there you are with your party. And you go through and you do the thing.
I haven't done it yet. But I accidentally hit the button for it. And it started queuing me up, but Elder Scrolls Online has a pretty cool system where you could just be like, hey, I'm going to be this role and sub this role for any particular raid or instance or whatever you want to do for a group. It'll automatically match you with people who are like, hey, I'm going to be this role and this role. And the beautiful thing about the Elder Scrolls Online is that you can have a person that's primarily a fighter that can also be a healer. Because they're like, I also decided to have restoration staves for no reason, because it was fun, you know? Because in that game, you can level up in anything, as any class.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I did briefly want to talk about that. Emily hasn't gotten a lot of time to dump into it yet, but we played a lot together. Like, a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you have anything you wanted to say about it in particular?
I wish I had more time to play.
Oh, fair enough.
The one starting, it's really sprawling and it's easy to get sidetracked, which is any game, but I feel like Elder Scrolls in particular, it's easy to get back on track, which is nice.
Yeah.
I really like the combat system.
Just like other Elder Scrolls games, sometimes quests are hard to complete, like as far as like, where am I supposed to fucking go?
Yeah.
So that's stayed the same.
I do like the combat quite a bit, though. It doesn't have auto-attacking like most MMOs do. You have to actually, like, watch your enemy.
Which is nice. I think auto-attacking is cheating.
I don't mind it so much, but...
Play the damn game yourself.
It's nice to have to be like, oh shit, I have to dodge now. Or, okay, it's time to block because they're winding up their power attack.
Why would you want to auto-attack?
Well, I mean, that was the system they came up with back in the day because it is tedious to keep clicking. There is that. Like, there have been a couple times where I'm like, this could be handled by auto-attacking, but then it wouldn't feel the same. Because when you do get in a fight with something that's actually really powerful, and you're sitting there and you're actually struggling against it, you're blocking and dodging and stuff, it feels wonderful. But when you're just grinding against normal mobs most of the time, they're too weak for you.
You're playing the game to press a button. Really. Why aren't you pressing the buttons?
Press the button, damn it.
I mean, you have other buttons to press while the game auto-attacks.
Just press the damn button. Being good at games is knowing which buttons to press and being able to press multiple ones.
Yeah, that's largely true.
Essence of gaming right there.
Do you have any final thoughts on Final Fantasy XIV, by the way?
Any thoughts of Final Fantasy or final thoughts?
I think they really did improve on the formula quite a bit. Like, making it into an actual, like, a multiplayer but also single-player experience. Like, I think they've done very well in, like, melding that all together. I am happy to report that I actually have decided, mainly because I have a couple work buddies who play it, is that I bought it, and I'm planning on, at least for a while, moving forward with getting a subscription and stuff.
Good.
So, I'll probably be giving more status reports as I get to, like, higher levels and start, like, you know, doing raids and shit like that, and getting to endgame stuff. But yeah, in the meantime, I really enjoy it, and I basically want to keep playing it, so at least for the time being, it's not just a time sink, it's actually something I'm having fun with.
Well,
also, as far as, like, in relation to the auto-attack thing, I almost don't even think about my auto-attack, like, at all. Like, pretty much
right, because you have other buttons to be pressing.
Exactly. So, like, the base, like, just auto-attack is hardly anything at all, at least it seems like.
Yeah.
But... yeah, no, I'll be adding more to that. Also, fucking airships. Fucking A. They improved on that so goddamn much.
Oh, good. I'm actually happy to hear that.
Because airships in Final Fantasy XI was like, oh yeah, this airship's gonna arrive at like 1:30. Oh, okay, that's like 15 minutes from now. Well, I guess you just better love sitting there fucking waiting. And then you get on the airship, and then you're on the airship for like 5-10 minutes, and then like, oh my god.
Fucking MapleStory did that too, and they're like, oh, and there's a random chance a Balrog could show up. Oh,
fucking Balrog bullshit.
It's like, well, it's a Balrog. I want to sit out here and see the Balrog. Oh, it can one hit kill me.
Yeah.
Well, guess I'm going back to, oh my god, I have to wait another half hour!
Yeah, no, that, and now basically it's like, oh, you're in this city and you want to go to this city? Okay, pay me 50 gil. Okay, give me a 10-second cutscene, and there you are. You're in the other fucking city.
That's the way that should be handled.
Yes.
That's...
and it's that way with, like, ships and ferries and fucking airships and all that shit. Also, they give you access to chocobos super fucking early, which
good.
Is awesome. And it's, like, fast travel, teleport in Final Fantasy XI. You better hope that you can shout and find a fucking white mage who will teleport you to a place for a decent amount of money, and now it's like...
yeah, because they could charge you for that fucking shit.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, that's how white mages fucking made their money, where they just sit in high-populated areas and be like, oh, you want to fucking teleport Yote? Well, that'll be 1,000 fucking gil. Oh, well, why don't you fucking die in a fire?
You know what? I'll walk, because it'll cost me less.
It costs me less, but, you know, 6 hours later, I'm finally where I need to be.
Yeah.
But now it's like, everybody can teleport, and they're depending on, like, because there are crystals everywhere that you can attune once you get there to that crystal. And once you do that, then you can teleport to it whenever you fucking want.
Yep.
But it does cost money, depending on, like, how far away you are to a max. Like, the most I've seen is, like, 600 gil, which, like, is chump change. Even
Elder Scrolls Online does exactly the same thing. Except the cost is actually... I'm kind of surprised by the currency, actually. Like, 10 gold in that is actually a lot.
Well, because gold's actually expensive.
Yeah, I like that. Like, having 100 gold means, wow, I can actually buy, like, a full set of equipment.
Yep. Yeah, things are worth very small amounts of money. It's like, oh my god, selling junk actually doesn't do anything. It's just junk.
It's just junk. I have to actually, like, make shit. I have to contribute to the society?
Ugh.
Fuck!
Gross. Still a pretty active player base, though.
Yeah, I like the crafting, actually, quite a bit. But again, the teleportation system is exactly the same.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. And also being able to return to, like, your home point whenever you fucking want, or granted there is, like, a cooldown on the cast, but still, you don't have to fucking, like, oh, shit, I forgot to buy a warp scroll before I left town. Now I'm just fucked. Well, I guess I'll just go over here and fucking kill myself so I can go back to my home point.
I do have a question for you, actually. Crafting.
Yes.
Have you tried it?
Not really, no.
Ah.
Because up until now, I've actually been on the free trial, which doesn't allow you to A/tell anybody, so you can't actually, like, communicate. B, you don't have access to the player market, so if I were to start crafting shit, I wouldn't be able to sell to anybody besides an NPC.
That makes sense.
So it's just like, I didn't really see a point to it, but now that I'm actually on an actual account, then I'll probably be getting into that shit.
Alright, well, let us know how that goes, too.
Yeah, I'll have more to report then.
Yeah.
Alright, so from all of us here at Dapper Shark Studios, I think this has been a podcast, guys. Next week, we're going to be doing our serious cast on the economy.
Economy!
Shakes fist. Economy!
So, enjoy that. Look for that. I have to re-familiarize myself with a ton of shit that I learned
like a month
weeks
ago.
So, well, guys, have yourself a wonderful night from all of us here at Dapper Shark Studios.
Yeah, so glad it's fucking snowing.
Yeah, fuck the snow.